Good morning. We are thrilled to have our visitors with us this morning. We really appreciate you stopping by and sharing with us as we serve the Lord and as we study from His Word. Thank you, Chris, for reading from the 22nd chapter of Luke. I know it was kind of a piece together, but it goes along with my sermon. Have you ever wondered why Peter's faith failed? Why Peter's faith failed? You know, just a few weeks ago in Eric's Sunday morning class, we were discussing the apostles, and we observed that, you know, there's little known of several of the apostles. But however, we did notice that the inspired record tends to focus on the work and personality of two apostles in particular and mainly. And of course, that is Peter and Paul. Now, we know that all of the apostles possessed the equal authority, position, and inspiration. But it was obviously God's purpose to focus on Peter, who was one of the original apostles, as his spokesman to the Jews. But Paul, on the other hand, was chosen as an apostle at a later date, and I think it was God's intention for him to be the spokesman to the Gentiles. Now, Peter and Paul had had diverse background histories. Peter was an uneducated native of the motherland of Judah, while Paul was reared as a Roman citizen in Tarsus. But yet he was highly educated in the Jewish religion at Jerusalem or in Jerusalem. And however, I think that we could say that both of these apostles were natural leaders. And I think that's the reason that they were used by God in the New Testament scriptures as a good example of highly successful converts to Christianity. But you know, I find it somewhat perplexing, but really very interesting, that these two outstanding future leaders of the church had major problems with sin in their lives. Saul, we know, persecuted the early church. Now, this was before he became a Christian. He persecuted the early church. However, I think he did it with a good conscience, but still, it was sin. And on the other hand, Peter, he became an early disciple of Jesus and was chosen as an apostle, and yet his faith failed him at a very critical point in his Christian life. So, I think, in my opinion, the sin of Peter probably presented a greater dilemma than the sin of Saul. Now, I realize that Paul considered himself the chief of sinners in 1 Timothy 1 and 15. But I believe that really represents his humble and lowly attitude, and which really is a good example for us, for all Christians. So, kind of with this beginning in mind, this morning's lesson will focus on the Apostle Peter's startling failure in faith shortly before the crucifixion of Jesus. We're going to start by looking at Acts chapter 2. And here we find the Apostle Peter standing before that great audience of people in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, boldly preaching God's plan of salvation. You know, I think we would all agree, without a doubt, probably it was one of the most effective sermons ever preached, with about 3,000 souls being saved on that day. However, Peter was only 2 months prior to this great oration that he gave, was actually, with an oath, denying knowing the Lord Jesus. Just 2 months before this happened. How could this cursing liar be the first preacher of the gospel plan of salvation? Well, I think we need to take notice of this, because it can happen to any of us if we do not carefully guard our faith. We're going to look at four significant reasons why I believe that Peter's faith faltered on that fateful morning after the Lord's arrest. And you know, I pray that God will give us wisdom as we study this dreadful experience that Peter had, so we won't make the same mistakes that he made. Reason number one, Peter failed because he boasted too much. Let's go back to the night before the Lord's crucifixion, when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper as a memorial of his death. Remember, Peter was the one that asked the question. And this is in John, the 13th chapter, verse 36. He said, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus answered him and said, "Well, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterwards." Now I want us to notice Peter's hasty and haughty spirit as he asked Jesus in a boastful way in verse 37. He said, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? Why, I will even lay down my life for your sake." You know, at this point, then Jesus made some predictions. And in the scripture that Chris read, and also in Mark, the 14th chapter, verse 30, Jesus answered Peter and he said, "Assuredly I say to you today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And then the Lord prayed for Peter in Luke, the 22nd chapter, verses 31 through 32 that Chris read. He said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you." Jesus said, "I have prayed for you, Peter, that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen the brethren." But still, Peter didn't seem to get it. He made another lofty boast in verse 33. He said, "Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death." Now I want you to listen to the scripture and you tell me, was Peter proud and boastful or what? Matthew 26, 33, Peter said to Jesus, he said, "Well, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never fail, or I will never be made to stumble. I will never fail." You know, boasting is speaking with exaggeration and excessive pride, especially about oneself. When Peter claimed that he was willing to be put in prison with Jesus, he bragged that he would die with Jesus before he would deny him. He was certainly overstating his faith. And this was because of his pride. But you know, looking back, we know his boast, in fact, he overstated his faith. Because just a few hours later, Peter denied the Lord three times. Just a few hours later. And he even swore, and he said, "I do not know Jesus." What was he thinking about? Didn't he remember he had boldly proclaimed yesterday that he would never deny the Lord? You know, I believe that we would all agree that this is one of the reasons that Peter failed, was because of his pride. Proverbs 16 and verse 18 teaches pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And this is exactly what happened in Peter's case. You know, there's numerous other scriptures that instruct us against pride and its boastful attitude. In the story of the prodigal son, in the 15th chapter of Luke, the older brother boasted of his own self-righteousness. And you know what it caused him to do? It caused him to fail to be compassionate to his younger brother who had repented and come back. Notice the Pharisee in Luke, the 18th chapter, verse 11. He was so full of pride and boasting that he thanked the Lord that he wasn't like all of these other men who were sinners. But what did Jesus say about him? In the 14th verse, he said, "Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." You know, even when we are helping to restore those who are overtaken in a sin, Paul warns us that we must seriously consider ourselves lest we also be tempted. Galatians 6 and 1. Now we might ask, tempted to do what? Well, I think it's tempted to become self-righteous and full of pride when we deal with the faults of others. Brethren, do we always exhibit a spirit of humility? I hope we work diligently to do that, because God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble, James 4 and 6. Now, if we exalt ourselves, we will be humbled one way or the other. But if we humble ourselves, then we know the Lord will exalt us. 1 Peter 5, 6. And you know, maybe Peter wouldn't have failed if he had not been so proud and boastful. And I'm sure all of us would sin less if we worked on being more humble. Reason number two. Peter failed because he failed to pray. Now, after Jesus and the apostles ate the Passover supper and they shared the Lord's supper, they went out to the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives. And in the garden, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him, apart from the other apostles, and he told them, he said, "Watch," Matthew 26, 38. While he went and prayed, because Jesus was very sorrowful and deep distress at this time. And so Jesus moved a short distance apart from the apostles and fell down. And falling down on his face, he fervently prayed to the Father, and he said, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Matthew 26, 39. You know, Jesus didn't want to be crucified. He didn't want to suffer the physical and spiritual pain and anguish involved in dying on the cross for the sins of the world. But even in all of his mental distress and anguish, he prayed that the Father's will be done. And then, to add to his woes, when Jesus returned to his disciples, guess what? He found them asleep. They had failed his simple request to watch and pray. And so Jesus said to Peter in Matthew 26 and verse 40, he said, "What? Can you not watch with me for 1 hour?" And then he told all the apostles, he said, "Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." You know, I think I've failed in the past to really give much thought to what happened next. But you know, it only stands to reason that Peter would surely watch and pray as the Lord instructed him to do, right? Wrong. No. But as soon as Jesus went again and to pray in private, you know what happened? Peter and the others went back to sleep. And this is one reason Peter's faith failed, because he failed to pray enough on that fateful night. You know, if we want to maintain a faithful life dedicated to the Lord, we must pray to God. And we must do it as Jesus instructed us to do in Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 13, where he was praying, he said, "Father, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Ask yourself these questions. Do you pray, or does your prayers include petitions to God to be delivered from Satan and his temptations? Is that part of your prayer life? Do you pray for the strength to be able to overcome and escape temptations? I should be. You should be. Have you read Dan Huff's good article entitled 1 Corinthians 10:13 in May's Gospel Message? Probably some of you read that. And here's what that scripture says. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So, if we don't want our faith to fail like Peter's did, we need to follow the words of Jesus to Peter where he said, Peter, watch and pray. You know, it's very important for us to be always be alert and ready so that the temptations will not take advantage of us or catch us off guard. And they can occur at any time. Just think, if Peter had prayed to the Father for strength to overcome, perhaps he would not have failed by denying Jesus. Think of all the times that you and I have avoided or could think how we could have avoided sin if we had watched and prayed more diligently. And you know, our spirits want to do what's right, but our bodies are weak, leading us to give in to sin if we fail to seek God's help that He has promised to us. Reason number three. Peter failed because he followed at a distance. You know, after the chief priests and the captains of the temple and the elders, they arrested Jesus in the garden, and then they took him to the house of the high priest. Well, what was Peter doing? Let's just check in and see what Peter was doing while the Lord was being arrested and led away into the city. In Luke 22, verse 54, these words, But Peter followed at a distance. Now, wait a minute. Something's wrong. This can't be the same assertive Peter that I know. I just witnessed him using his sword in defense of Jesus. Yes, I think Peter's sympathies were with Jesus, but for some reason, he personally wanted to keep a safe distance away from the captive Jesus. He didn't want to get too close or risk getting directly involved in the controversy surrounding Jesus. But just consider, what if Peter had actually followed by the side of Jesus and not followed at a distance? Would he have denied Christ from that position? Of course not. You know, it's very difficult to deny knowing someone while you're walking right beside them. But tragically, Peter tried to follow Jesus from a distance because he feared the consequences. So as a result, he failed. And I'm afraid this can be a problem with any of us today. By following Jesus from a distance, we fail to understand that the only safe place is staying nearer, still nearer to Him. You know, like Peter, we may be interested in Jesus and the truth, but at times we would rather observe from the distance instead of getting personally involved. You know, I'm sure Peter generally wanted others to think of him as a follower of Jesus, but not on that particular day. And it was obvious his faith was weak, and he was being put to the test. You know what? When our faith is weak is when we are most often tested. Did you hear what I just said? When our faith is weak is when we are most often tested. Just like Tad was saying, there's a reason for what God has told us to do, and it will work. But we have to realize that it's working, and we have to go along with the Lord. We must all understand it is impossible to follow Jesus at a distance without failing. After Peter's third denial of his Savior Jesus, the rooster crowed, and Jesus turned and looked at him. Then Peter finally realized he had failed. And the scripture says he went out and wept bitterly. And I think from this point on, I think we could say that from this point on, for the rest of his life, Peter remembered his hard lesson. In other words, he remembered that following Jesus is an all or nothing proposition. The scripture says we must forsake all and follow Jesus. It simply will not work to forsake a little bit and then follow Jesus half-heartedly simply to make ourselves feel better. That won't work. We must choose between Jesus and the world. It's just that simple. Without a doubt, if we follow Jesus as closely as we possibly can, then we will not fail. However, when we purposely distance ourselves from Him in any way, then sooner or later, it is certain we will fail Him. You know, I'm pretty sure if Peter had followed closely to Jesus, he would not have failed by denying his Lord. Reason number four. Peter failed because he chose his companions carelessly. He chose his companions at that hour carelessly. Luke 22, verses 54 through 50 and 55. And having arrested Jesus, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Why did Peter sit down with those who were not disciples of Christ? Well, it probably was because he didn't want to be identified as a follower of Christ at that particular occasion. Yes, he wanted to be close enough so he could see what was going to happen to Jesus, but he didn't want to be anyone to know that he was a disciple himself. Therefore, he was careless in choosing his companions by sitting down with this group. Well, who was in this group sitting around the fire in the courtyard at the high priest's house? Well, I think we'd all agree it wasn't a group of Jesus' disciples. They may have been some of the servants, and we know the servant girl was one that asked the first question, but they probably were the servants of the high priest and maybe some of the other officials, but they weren't allowed to go in the house during the interrogation of Jesus. So they sat outside and they built a fire. And so maybe Peter thought, while joining this group, they would just think that he was simply an interested Jewish citizen and not really suspect who he really was. And also, I think Peter's cursing and swearing, that was just another way of kind of blending in with the group and hiding his identity. It's like saying, oh yeah, I'm just part of you, you know. One of his disciples wouldn't curse and swear like that. Well, as we know, it didn't work. He was identified as a disciple of Jesus by three of the group. And of course, he immediately denied it. So on that terrible evening when Jesus was betrayed and denied, Peter sat down with the wrong people. Yes, he chose the wrong companions. What about the companions we choose to associate with? You know, the Bible warns us not to make that same mistake. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, the record says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." And yes, it's still true. Evil companions corrupt good morals. But like many, like Peter, have to learn this lesson the hard way. Many today fall into sin because they fail to choose good companions that will encourage them to do what is right and to avoid evil. Instead, they associate themselves and become close friends with people of the world, and as a result, they become like the world. They fail to realize that a little leaven leavens the whole lump, 1 Corinthians 5:6. But please understand, the Word of God is true. It will not fail. If you choose sinful companions, it won't be long before their unrighteous ways will be growing on you. You can bank on that. You know, we must take David's words of wisdom to heart. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Psalms 1, 1 and 2. So as we wind up this lesson this morning, there we have it, a lesson from the life of the Apostle Peter. Peter was a convert of Jesus at this time. I know it was still before the church was started, but he would have been considered a Christian, a follower of Christ. And he's the one who successfully introduced the church in Acts chapter 2. But only 2 months before that, he had so miserably failed the Lord on the day that Jesus died for our sins. And we've looked at 4 different reasons for his failure. Now, some might say, well, there really is no difference between Peter and Judas. Judas Iscariot. It's true, they both failed miserably on that day. One betrayed Jesus and the other denied him repeatedly. But when we consider the attitude of those two apostles, there is a great deal of difference between their failures. Peter's sin was unintentional. That is, he sinned through weakness of faith and fear. Judas, on the other hand, sinned according to a plan and purpose. And there's another significant difference is that Judas did not seek forgiveness through repentance. Now, it's true they were both sorrowful after committing their sins, but Judas, he just gave up by going out and hanging himself. Put an end to it. But Peter, he also went out, but he wept in bitter sorrow. He did not give up. He repented and gave his life to faithful service to the Lord. And he did it all the way to his death. So, you know, brothers and sisters, we must avoid the mistakes that Peter made by, number one, being a person of humility. Number two, praying without ceasing. Number three, following Christ as closely as we can. And number four, choosing our companions wisely. And I think that's the lesson that we learn from Peter's mistakes. And you know, God forbid, if we do fail him, don't make the mistake that Judas made, and that is failing to seek God's pardon. Because even though Judas betrayed the Son of God himself, he could have been forgiven. Remember, it doesn't matter how awful we sin or fail before God, he is always willing to accept us with open arms if we come to him on his terms. And in closing, I've got a couple of scriptures I want to read, just kind of in encouragement for us as we think about this. In 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then over in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel 18, verses 21 through 23, it says, "But if a wicked man turns from all his sins, which he has committed, keeps all my statutes, and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of the transgressions which he has committed shall be remembered against him. Because of the righteousness which he has done, he shall live." And then he asks this question, Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord God, or that they should turn from his ways and live? You know, we need to really stop and think. Are we doing some of those same things that Peter did, some of those same mistakes that he made that led him to forsake his Lord? At this time this morning, we're going to extend the invitation to any who have not started walking close to God. That's the key. Walking, getting close to God, staying close to God. But if you haven't started, we invite you to come and accept the Lord. Or if you have drifted away and you're walking afar, you're walking a distance away from Jesus, you need to come back to Him. So if we can assist you in any way in your salvation, we just ask you to please come forward as we stand and sing.